Attention, please.
Come on over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on. Yes, I said, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking. Whole lot of shaking going on.
This is Attention, Please, in which each Monday at this time we will draw your attention to some of the enriching opportunities, events, and services on offer on this amazing peninsula we call home. I'm Steve Evans, and this week we take a stroll through Port Townsend's wonderful farmers market, that vibrant community hub where every Saturday from early spring to the end of autumn, most of the town congregates out in front of the community center on Tyler Street for a few hours in the hopes not only of snagging a basket full of fresh seasonal produce, or perhaps a locally produced craft item that may become a treasured heirloom, but of running into an old friend or making a new connection, or sitting on the lawn and just listening to some live music.
It occurs to me that I should have introduced myself as Steve Evans from KPTZ, and I'm doing a thing about the farmers market. So why don't you tell me once again who you are and what this raffle is for?
We are the Port Townsend Sunrise Rotary. This is our 9th annual Running of the Balls fundraising event. Every year we release golf balls that are numbered, and when the balls reach the end, those are the winners. And it supports a plethora of programs, but ideally we're focusing on the dictionary program that gives dictionaries to third graders in the whole county free of charge. And then of course we support all kinds of other groups through the high school and through other communities.
So I'm sorry, where do the balls run?
They run down Monroe Street and then they end in a little tray.
and when it sounds dangerous. I mean, when does this happen?
Yes, it's very cautious. We have many safety precautions, but it's on Roadie Saturday, which is the 15th of May this year, which is a bittersweet roadie, but this year. But
yeah, what is happening for roadie this year? I haven't really heard. There's no parade, is there?
No parade.
All that's been told that I've heard is that it's postponed and that it will be rhododendron in June or July. But I do wonder how they'll get bands when school's out.
Yes, I wonder the same thing.
Maybe just be floats. Maybe we'll get the bagpipers back.
Maybe.
All right, well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Hello.
I was like, what are you holding?
I am holding a recorder.
A
voice recorder. I'm Steve Evans. I'm from KPTZ, and I'm doing a little thing for a new program we have called Attention, Please. Which is to just draw attention to things that are going on, like the farmer's market. And the Eagle Mount Wine and Cidery. So you're kind of a fixture here at the market, I believe.
Yes, we are. I'm like so nervous about my voice being recorded. Oh my God.
Oh, I should have asked permission.
I shouldn't have asked what that is. Trudy's been in town for a really long time. She's like amazing. She makes wine, ciders, and meads. She makes them just right up the road. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
You're being recorded. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
I'm Amy. And I've worked for Trudy for about 2-3 years. I used to do the Ballard Farmers Market for her. And then I moved to town when COVID started. And I'm very pleased to be doing the Port Townsend Farmers Market.
So do we have special, like, seasonal ciders here, or is it the same offering year-round?
We get all of our fruit locally, so there are seasonal changes depending on what we have access to, but the cider has to ferment, so it's not like, there's lots of peaches this season, and now they're in a cider. It's, you know, it takes a little while.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I'm so nervous.
I recognize the label.
Okay. Burdock, chamomile, and dandelion. And the sours Are you a sour fan? Should I elaborate? Okay. There's usually a line in the sand there if you're a sour person. This is with blackcurrant barrel aged with the souring. I love this one. And this is apricot, stone fruits with the sour. So this one's probably more twangy, and this one's got a little bit more of a full mouth. And then the cedra, we were out for a while. We have that one back now. It's really dry, but super nice.
I'm sorry, I should ask permission, but I'm Steve Evans from KPTZ, and I'm just doing a little profile of the market here, and I just thought, okay, I'll get the sales pitch here. So, do you have, like, different ciders that, like, come out at different seasons? I mean, is there a certain seasonal cider right now that...
Indeed we do. This is our spring botanical. It's a honey meadow. It came out in March, and in June we're going to have the lavender black currant. That's a real popular hit.
So what's your name?
My name is Erin.
Getting little snippets from like various booths. So
awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That last was Pin River Farm. All right, well, why don't you tell me your name again?
Robin Gluster.
And you're here with Midori Farms.
Uh-huh.
Midori Farm Ferments.
That's right.
Okay, tell me about the ferments.
The ferments, we have our eight several different flavors today, and we also have our Kraut Dust, which is dehydrated pulverized sauerkraut used as a seasoning. We always have that at the market, and we also have a lot of kale rob from our overwintered brassicas, as well as cabbage rob, and we're just starting to get arugula and spinach now, and we'll be pulling salad greens out of the greenhouse for next week. So salad season is upon us.
Yep. No, I hear that like fermented foods are supposed to be really good for you, right? They have probiotics.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, definitely. Yeah. Yes, very good probiotics. It's kind of like a yogurt quality that it's supposed to boost your immune system, and I'm not a doctor. I can't say specifics, but it tastes good and makes you feel good. Yeah, all of our raw fermented things.
No, but when you reduce a kraut to a dust, does it still have those qualities?
I'm not sure. It definitely has all the flavor. It's really good on popcorn.
Oh, really?
It is dry. It is cool dehydrated, so there's probably still probiotic qualities. There's no heat added, so yeah.
Now, so it's kind of early in the season yet, and so you've got... various greens out there, I see, and arugula. And,
yeah.
What can we expect coming up?
Yeah, next week we'll have mixed salad greens, as well as Hakurai salad turnips, those little white turnips with a mild kind of radish flavor. Yeah, really delicious. Mm-hmm.
I actually planted some of those in my garden this summer.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, they come up really fast and they're delicious. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thank you.
It's Michael.
Yes.
You probably don't recognize me behind this, but it's Steve Evans from KPTZ. And, you know, I used to
come in
to BLTC all the time.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
So it's good to see you here at the market. I'm just doing a little show about the market and, you know, what's on offer. You got any special seasonal roasts here?
Not seasonal. I do one seasonal roast a year at Christmas time. I do the Santa Rides Again blend. But summertime, I just do my regular fair trade organic coffees.
I see. So where are your coffees available now other than the farmer's market? Or is this like, you know, your one, like, you know,
no,
outlet?
No, they're in town or in general?
In town, yeah.
In town, we do, well, of course, Better Living Through Coffee sells the whole line.
Right.
The co-op sells them in bags and in the bins. Aldrich's, Chimicum Corner. And if you go a little out of town, Country Air in Port Angeles carries all of our coffees. And that's basically for the bags of coffee to take home, that's where we sell them. We sell it to some cafes also and places to...
So you're not, like, exporting to Seattle or farther afield?
Well, we do a lot of mail order business, and a lot of people in Seattle buy it mail order, but there's no outlet there.
All right. Well, good to see you.
Same here.
Okay.
So what is your name?
I'm Roxanne Hudson. I'm one of the co-owners of Spring Rain Farm.
It's been in operation here for...
Since 2009. So we've been here for a while, and we're just, I think, now getting into our full swing because we planted a whole bunch of perennials and trees on our farm, and they're right now just starting to come into their own. But we're pretty well known for our winter greens and our berries.
And actually for your eggs.
Yes, I have eggs.
You have some of the eggs with the most like orange yolks I have ever seen.
Well, the reason why is the chickens go running out every day and we don't fence them anywhere. They go wherever they want and they have about 8 acres that they can roam on, and so they always get the very most delicious greens and bugs and sometimes a snake.
So tell me about seasonal things. I mean, what do you have here and what might be coming later?
So right now we have the last of our winter greens. We have 4 different big greenhouses planted for winter greens so that our community can eat in the winter and not have to get things trucked up from California. And so that's kind of coming to an end, but what's coming on strong are actually cucumbers are doing really well right now. And we just planted a whole bunch of spinach that should be doing well. And we're just getting ready to start flipping our greenhouses into tomatoes.
Have you got your tomato starts going already?
We have a good, oh gosh, probably 3,000 tomato starts right now that we're babying.
You don't sell starts, do you?
We often do, but this year, interestingly, the pandemic has been affecting seed companies because they can't get people too close together and having workers all around. So they're not testing the germination very well, and we're not getting good germination. So we actually have not enough tomato plants. But usually we have tomato starts, and for sure we're going to have basil starts in probably another 2 weeks.
I've had the same problem this year. I bought 3 varieties of tomatoes, mm-hmm. and only one of the cherry tomatoes, the amber cherry tomatoes.
They're having a tough time getting enough people out to do the testing and the lab work and still maintain all the social distancing and all that stuff.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So first, what is your name?
Kelly.
Kelly, and you are the proprietor of Crust Bakery, which I'm not familiar with. Have you been here for a long time and I'm just ignorant?
This is our 10th season.
So I should have noticed it.
So we've been around, yeah.
What do you have on offer here today?
I sell sweet or savory hand pies, and I make also soups. And I focus on using local and seasonal ingredients in my products.
So is it pretty much the same offering each week, or do you kind of mix it up, and are other things coming later in the year?
Yeah, as I have my core basics that I make, and then as the season progresses and more fruits and produce come, then my menu changes with that. But there are certain, like the garlicky greens, there's always kale available in Port Townsend, so I make that one all the time.
Right.
And then a French onion, because onions are always available, so I make those. But then things like blueberry peach and cinnamon apple, those I do seasonally.
And how important is the farmer's market to your business?
It is my business.
It is your entire business.
Well, I do have a wholesale business as well, but this is where I get to interact with people, to get feedback, to feed my community. So it's super important to me. But I do also sell to Aldridge's, the co-op, and the Chimicum Corner Farm Stand.
So you are an intensely local food provider.
I am.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased to make your acquaintance.
Thanks so much for chatting.
So could you tell me your name?
My name is Miel Christensen, and I have a business called Townsend Toad Kids Wear, where I dye clothing from white, and then I've carved blocks out of either balsa wood or linoleum and individually block print everything, so it's all a little bit different. Mostly for kids, but I've got kitchen towels and some shirts for short sleeve shirts for women. Otherwise, everything is for babies and kids up to about age 10.
How long have you been doing this?
I started making shirts right after college and sold them at Grateful Dead shows way back in the early 80s. And then I took some time off, became a firefighter. Now I'm an RN, and I kind of do this on the weekends. And I've been doing this for 4 or 5 years with a new business, the block print business.
How long have you been selling at the market?
I sold back in 2003 with tie-dyes, and then took some time off, and now I'm back 5 years. With this business.
They're really cute.
Thanks.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, take care.
These are not. Yeah, I just moved down here like 4 years ago.
The drum
is
the
oldest
instrument.
Yeah.
Cool.
We
were beating on logs before we had anything else. So nobody owns drums.
Right. Okay, well, I'm just curious.
Now, hi, I'm Steve Evans from KPTZ, and I'm just doing a little profile of the market and going around and talking to people about their businesses. Would you be willing to talk about? It says to ask about your medicine rattles. So I thought I'd ask about your medicine rattles.
I am.
Could you tell me your name?
My name is Wakinda Rose.
Might be something for
and the medicine rattles are called medicine rattles because they are filled with crystals. Each one has a different kind of crystal in it. And they have different hides, such as bear and deer and moose. And they have garnets and peridot and amethyst in them. And when you shake them, they give off the properties of the stones. And they get rid of negative energy. And they shake up energy, and they clean your aura, and they have healing properties, and they help, like, garnet is really good for helping your first chakra. The amethyst is really good for helping your seventh chakra, and so on. You know, so we use them for healing and for ceremony. And just all around, you can clean your house with them, you know, of any negative energy in the house, that kind of thing.
So what tradition do these arise out of?
They're different traditions. I'm Monacan Indian from Virginia, the Blue Ridge Mountains. And it's, you know, my tribe's tradition. But most Native Americans use something of this sort.
Right.
You know, it's just a Native thing. So most Natives have that. And I'm shamanically trained. I'm a shamanic Reiki master.
What a day, huh?
And then I see that you sell traditional drums as well.
Yes, we do.
Can I make the drums? I make the rattles.
What's your name?
I'm Frank.
You're Frank?
I'm Frank.
And do these drums come from some specific tradition?
They do not. Drumming is the oldest tradition in the whole world.
Yes.
Nobody owns drums. So I don't.
Although there are particular kinds of drums that come from particular traditions.
However, what I have done is I have developed my own style. So I'm not following any tradition here. This hand grip is only done by me. Nobody else. My first shamanic teacher back in the mid '90s taught me how to make a drum, and I have been making drums ever since then. And I've gone on to develop my entire own style. We have a variety of hides here. We have the only one that's actually traditional is that ovoid-shaped one, and that is from the Sami people of the Laplanders, the old reindeer herders of Finland and Sweden and parts of Russia. The Sami people developed that ovoid shape, and when I did my DNA research, my ancestor.com, found out how much that I did have some Finnish in me and some Swedish and Norwegian. I did my research and decided that I would make a drum of that shape for my shamanic work.
It's beautiful. It's kind of like an egg.
It's an ovoid.
Yes, right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wandering around the Saturday Farmers Market in the heart of Uptown, this is Steve Evans for Attention Please and KPTZ Community Radio News.
Shake it, baby. Yeah. You can shake it one time.